Joe, you asked a question about justification the other day, and I didn't give what I thought was a clear enough answer. Joe's question was, does justification mean that I declare somebody not guilty, and does justification only mean that I declare somebody righteous? Okay, so which aspects does it involve? Does it include both a declaration of not guilty plus a declaration of righteousness because of Christ? I'm not sure. So how you like that answer? But here is the systematic theology kind of, this is from Wayne Grudem, and this is what I was using to formulate some of my thoughts. And look at his definition on the top of page 723 right there, the italicized definition. He says, just what is justification? Okay, he says, you see that where I am? The very first full paragraph. Just what is justification? We may define it as follows. Justification is an instantaneous legal act of God. Please note it is a legal declaration. I did emphasize that it has legal terminology associated with it, in which He, God, thinks of our sins as forgiven. That was your point and Joe yesterday. And Christ's righteousness as belonging to us and declares us to be righteous in his sight. So that is Wayne Grudem's systematic theology definition. So that's from this book right here. Note down in that same column there, that page at the bottom, the second paragraph from the bottom. The idea that justification is a legal declaration is quite evident also when justification is contrasted with condemnation. Paul says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? To condemn somebody is to declare that person guilty. The opposite of condemnation is justification, which in this context must mean to declare somebody not guilty. Okay? This is also evident from the fact that God's act of justifying is given as Paul's answer to the possibility of somebody bringing an accusation or charge against God's people, such as the declaration of guilt cannot stand in the face of God's declaration of righteousness. So it may mean that justification means an initial declaration of righteousness, and once that person is imputed Christ's righteousness, there is no longer a charge of guiltiness. I can say not guilty because the righteousness is imputed, so it may be an act of which is first. Okay, but these are some of the Old Testament examples I gave you yesterday. Some Old Testament examples of the word justify in the Greek, dikaiō, add support to this understanding. For example, we read of judges who justified the righteous and condemned the wicked, Deuteronomy 25. Now, in this case, justify must mean to declare to be righteous or not guilty, just as condemn means to declare to be guilty. I'll turn over the page. Basically, what we're going to end up is God is going to declare us just, which includes, you see the circle over there in the right-hand column, forgiveness of past sins. But that is not sufficient. It is also the declaration of righteousness. So, in essence, justification includes both forgiveness and a declaration, but it is a legal declaration. You are righteous. That must include some aspect of forgiveness of past bought through the blood of Christ. So this page may help you to continue to wrestle with that and precisely what ultimately justification is. So you can read through that as well. And you see, good men have precisely different semantic terminology of how they categorize some of these concepts. Theology ultimately is not the scriptures. The scriptures, we synthesize our thinking and our philosophical theology systems based upon the evidence in scripture. And some men will systematize it slightly different. So just as long as you explain what you mean by your terminology and that you show the greater what you mean, a legal declaration of righteousness is the essence of it. And then explain how forgiveness or something is included in that just to make sure the greater knows what you think. Okay? Good. You don't need to know any of that for the question. The answer to the question is, what is justification? Justification is a declaration of righteousness based upon the imputed righteousness of Christ to your account. If you want, you know, it may help to embellish that with some of your other thoughts that would be very good, so that the greater knows that you know what you're talking about. But the essence is a declaration, a legal declaration of righteousness. This is a legal standing. You're legally no longer culpable to the penalty of sin because you have the righteousness of Christ in on your account.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. All right. All right. Any other thoughts or questions on that? You already answered that question and moved on. You got it written out? No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. You're rewriting the question. Amen. All right. I'm not a systematic theology guy, so you guys made me brush up on my systematic theology. I'm an Old Testament guy, so let's go there right now, okay? Genesis. Doctrine of the Church in Genesis. some of you dispensationalists struggle with that. Some of you Reform guys. Yes! Let's talk about God's plan. Let's talk about the big picture first, and then we'll get into that. God's big picture for his people, and then we'll get to the answering the questions. I'm probably going to do a little bit different than I did yesterday. I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to elicit responses from you from the Nank questions, and then we'll see how closely they correspond to my answers. Let's do that way so we have a little bit more dialogue and interaction and keep you awake, okay? But first, like I want to do, I want to give you more than actually what is on the exam, some of my understanding at this point in time. Take a look at Genesis. It's on the screen. Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves over the earth." When you think of the image of God in man, what do you think of? What normally comes to your mind that constitutes image? What? Just help me on this. Pretend I don't know anything. Okay, likeness, shape, figure.
Profile.
Purpose. Many of you are not saying, okay, it means we have a moral, rational capability in us that animals don't have. Who said don't do that yesterday? Because I'm about to say don't do that. But I was raised in thinking the image of God in man meant that he had moral, rational capabilities. But I'm not convinced that that's precisely what it is. Let me show you something here. You don't have to open your scriptures yet, Kathy. Let me get my ink up here. Isn't this cool? Watch this. I can draw on this. See that? And it just appears. And then I can erase all ink. This is like so cool to me. So don't you want one of these? All right, here's the deal. The term image and likeness, we can actually find those two exact terms in ancient Near East, not that you've read ancient Near East manuscripts recently, but ancient Near East inscriptions. And they're found in representative text that indicates something like this. Let me draw a picture here for you, okay? Let me draw this, and let me draw this. Let me draw this. You guys know what this is yet? It is not a balloon. It's Hebrew. It is not Hebrew. So it is Israel, okay? This is the Dead Sea. Dead Sea, this is the Sea of Galilee, this is Jordan River. This is what? Over here, the Nile. Okay. In the ancient Near East, you have all these wars going on over there. And it's been like that for a long time. Now, when, let's say, a great king, let's call him a great king over here. This is over in the area of Babylon. When a great king would come and conquer a distant land such as Egypt, and they come over this way. This is the Fertile Crescent where you see the red line. They come over this way, and then they conquer the land. They would set up many times in that land –